Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything that you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up over there this morning. So swing on by, check out what's going on. Of course, while you're over at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right. Dan, I'm not quite sure if I think this is going to have the effect that the NBA players think it's going to have, but they are all three playoff games tonight, which was the Magic and the Bucks, the Thunder and the Rockets, and then the Trailblazers and the Lakers, have been postponed. Originally, this started yesterday when the Celtics and the Raptors actually met to discuss postponing their game, which was tomorrow. When the first game was supposed to start today, which was Orlando and Milwaukee, apparently Milwaukee just never came out on the floor. So then, you know, it was found out that they had decided they were going to boycott the game. Now, this is all going on over the police shooting in Kenosha. I believe the guy's name was James Blake. I may be mistaken there. Dan, I'm looking at this and I'm just kind of trying to think how a bunch of guys who are in Orlando deciding not to play brings attention to the situation in Wisconsin, because now all the media is going to talk about is the NBA players boycotting, not about what went on in Kenosha. So, you know, because like I've already seen it on some of the networks where nobody's talked to any of the players, but all they've said is, well, there won't be any games tonight because they're boycotting. That doesn't draw any attention to what happened.
Well, yeah, not if they're not talking, like you said.
You know, and, you know, like I thought what the Lions did yesterday made more sense. You know, they agreed to cancel practice, and then they held a gigantic press conference where the players got up in front of the media and spoke about it. You know, I thought that would have made a lot more sense, and maybe that will happen, down the road here, depending on what goes on. But, you know, from a personal standpoint, Dan, I don't give a damn if they ever play these playoff games or not. Do you?
Not really. I mean, COVID killed my drive for all of this. I don't know a whole lot about the Jacob Blake thing. And, you know, I did see some of the footage from last night. That gunshot wound was pretty vicious, if you've seen it. You know, if you didn't see it. It's pretty nasty, and if you can't handle that stuff, I wouldn't even watch it to begin with. But, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, I never even, until I saw the article or something pop up, I didn't really think about this. And, you know, we kind of had our opinions when Kaepernick started doing his thing with the kneeling. And, you know, when you actually break it down for the whole purpose of the national anthem, it's to support the soldiers of all races, nationalities, and background that fight for this country. It's not like this, it's not about the symbolization of the United States and what it stands for. You know what I'm saying? It's to represent them, you know, pay respect to the, you know, the people that are just like us who, you know, like my nephew is going to do in a couple of weeks and leave for the Air Force. Like my other nephew does when he's traveling, you know, being stationed for the Army Reserves. And like my cousin did, I forgot how many tours overseas in Iraq. And that's why we stand. It's for them. It's not for the White House, whether it's Barack
right.
or Trump or any of those. That's what it's for. And, you know, we had our opinions and, you know, and we also gave insight as to why things were going to be the way they were. Like, why is he not going to get looked at? Was it, you know, conspiracy against him? No, it was because they just didn't want to, you know, the media attention at the time wasn't going to be positive for the team. And, you know, one of the things that stood out that I just popped in my head was I remember if, you know, these guys want to kneel, you know, it's your right as an American citizen, part of the Constitution, which I'm all for, but I'm not for when some of these people want to turn my country into socialism, but that's a whole other topic. And you start losing those rights of the Constitution. If you didn't have those rights, you wouldn't be able to be doing that. It would be like in treated in other countries. Or if you are watching Amazon Prime and I'm way behind, I just started watching The Man in the High Tower, I think it is. Awesome. It's intense. But, you know, one of the things I'd said to you, Big Jack, was you want to make a statement. And that's what everything was about, wasn't it? They were trying to make a statement. And I said it's not enough. It's not enough. And if you want to make a statement, boycott the game. Don't go to work. But each and every Sunday, every single NFLer went to work. So, you know, when Roger Goodell was getting dogged for, oh, whatever you're doing, it's, you know, too little, too late. You're behind, you know, you're way behind on this. Well, you know, like I said, at the same time, each and every one of those NFL players went to work every Sunday. Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, decided that they weren't going to go to the field during the national anthem. You know, the Chicago Bears players locked arm in arm, standing on the sidelines. Obviously, Kaepernick and then the other young man who sat beside him. I forgot his name. He's not a big NFL guy. That's what they did, and, you know, some other teams. So everyone kind of did their thing. But at the same time, it wasn't enough. You know, like I said, you want to make a statement, really boycott and don't show up like they are doing in the NBA. And this is one of those where, you know, we had talked about before, and, you know, you felt that having the playoffs come back was a great opportunity because these guys are all get put in as now at Zoom conferences, you know, post-game, and they could voice their opinion, you know, get their message to voice their opinion, you know, put it all out there. But, you know, to me it was like, if you want to make a statement, don't have the damn playoffs. Boycott that. Spend, you know, the rest of that time that could be spent playing these games that I'm sure, you know, like you've mentioned a million times already, the ratings are down. They keep falling. And I can't even believe I'm going to say this. But does this also coincide with that, Big Jack? Do I just put my foil hat on and, hey, guys, we got to do something. Ratings are down.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if that's it because I don't think boycotting, you know, one day like today, I don't think it's going to make absolutely any difference when they come back. You know, I mean, especially with all the days off the NBA gets in the playoffs anyways.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's to keep track of, you know, when they're playing and when they're not playing. And, you know, again, I mean, you know, we're talking about guys who are stuck in Florida. All right. They can't leave. They're in Orlando. They're in the bubble. They have no, you know, well, they could leave. You know, of course, that would be completely up to them. You know, if they decided they wanted to leave. But, you know, I mean, I don't think it makes anywhere near the statements the Lions made yesterday by doing what they did and really being organized and having a plan, you know, because they knew they were going to have the media there because the media shows up for practice anyways. So you've got the media there. You come to practice. You get in front of them and you start basically going off and you explain, you know, what is going on and why you're doing this and, you know, what needs to change. And, you know, again, I mean, you know, looting businesses and burning buildings down isn't going to change anything.
No.
You know, that's the bottom line. That's just stupid. So, that makes no sense at all. I mean, basically you're just putting people out of work or crushing somebody's dream to own their own business. That's all you're doing. You're not hurting the police or, you know, the elected officials in any way, shape or form. You know, that's why we vote. You know, we got an election coming up, you know, and I'm willing to bet a lot of those people aren't registered. Get your ass out there and get registered and vote. You know, this is how we make change in this country. You know, there's ways to do it. And I mean, unfortunately, you know, I have a friend who lives in the suburb of Aurora. 2 days ago, he got followed 15 blocks by a police officer. Now, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was driving home. He was driving home from work. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the police officer finally turned off. 3 blocks later, it ended up being a she. She was back and pulling him over. He hadn't done anything wrong. But, you know, she pulled him over, started, you know, asking him a bunch of questions. You know, where are you going? You know, because he, as odd as this may seem, he lives in an affluent white neighborhood in Aurora. So it was curious to have a black man in that neighborhood. If she'd have known better, if she'd have just ran his plate, she would have known he lived in the area. You know, he was only a few blocks from home. So, you know, I mean, basically she racially profiled him and pulled him over for no reason. I think she gave him some excuse like his license plate light was out or, you know, something, you know, something real lame like that, you know, to make the stop. You know, and unfortunately, these kind of things happen and continue to happen. And, you know, this is the change we need to make. I mean, luckily for my friend, it didn't go any farther than that. You know, once he handed over his license and his paperwork and everything was on the up and up, she realized he only lived a few blocks away. But, you know, I mean, it was still crappy to pull him over. There was no reason to do it. And, you know, I saw the video of this guy getting shot. And I just keep telling myself, I wish he would have just listened to the officers. But they have no reason to shoot him. I don't understand why two officers can't pull someone over in a car. You know, that makes absolutely no sense to me at all. You know, this is the problem we have, and this is what, you know, these athletes who have this voice, you know, especially the Bucks, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Kenosha, Wisconsin, they need to be front and center on this. You know, we don't need to hear from LeBron. LeBron lives in L.A. Let him deal with the L.A. stuff. You know, we don't need to hear from James Harden or Russell Westbrook. We need to hear from Giannis. You know, we need to hear from Chris Middleton. We need to hear from the guys on the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, this is why we boycotted. All right? This was the main reason. You get out there and you do something about this. You know, I mean, start using it. And I just don't know if, you know, if this is going to get their point across. So, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
So are you under the whatever, fill in the blank, that you think for this to actually mean something, they need to just not only boycott this one game, they just need to just pack it up?
You know, I think if, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks went back to Milwaukee or Kenosha in this case, and, you know, assisted in the protests or, you know, marched on City Hall or whatever they're going to do, that would be a gigantic help. You know, that would make more of a statement than boycotting an NBA game in Florida. You know, I mean, nobody's watching these games anyway. So, you know, then, you know, let's face it, Dan. I mean, who's watching these games? I'm willing to bet the majority of the audience tuning in is white. You know, I mean, you're really not even kind of reaching your core, you know, your core audience or its media members, you know, because obviously they're watching it because they have to report on it. So I don't know if you're even connecting with the younger people that you would want to connect with in this situation. So I don't know if walking away, you know, and just saying, you know, that's it, let's go, we're done, I don't know if that would help it. You know, and in reality, it may even hurt them more, especially since the Bucks are a championship contender. I think their fans may be disappointed that they didn't try to win it. But, you know, you never know. I mean, it's just one of those situations. I still think they're better off playing. And, you know, every time I get a chance to talk on Zoom, I'm talking about it. You know, I don't care what question they ask me. You know, I'm going right into my diatribe about, you know, what we need to do to basically fix the police. And, you know, that's, again, that's where this all lies. You know, and I mean, we've all dealt with it. You know, I mean, even as a white kid in the suburbs, you know, I dealt with, you know, a-hole cops. You know, you've had your run-ins with cops who were, you know, jerks. It's just, for whatever reason, you know, you put a badge on these guys and some of them get, you know, a sense of entitlement. So, you know, and these are the guys we have to find a way to weed out. I mean, these are the guys that we don't need going around carrying guns. You know, and now with everybody having some type of video camera, because every phone has one now, you know, we're finding out more and more what kind of people these guys are. You know, before it was always just, well, you know, it's this, you know, drug addict's word against this cop's word, or this thug's word against this cop's word. Well, you know, he's a cop, we're going to believe the cop. Well, now, you know, you've got to wonder, all these years you start looking back, you know, I mean, this has probably been going on for how long? You know, since there have been cops?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, and again, that, you know, that's the core issue that needs to be fixed. You know, but how do you go about fixing it? I mean, I read an article today about an officer in California who's got 4 shooting deaths on his record, and he's still employed. You know, so you just kind of wonder, you know, where's the line at? Where do you draw the line? You know, how many people can you shoot before you lose your job? You know, obviously for me, it would just be one. Because we would be done right after that. But, I think that, you know, that's where I would like to see, you know, these people with the podium, the players, the politicians. This is where I would like to see their focus turned. It's time to turn up the pressure on the cops and start weeding out the bad ones. You know, and again, you know, rioting and looting isn't the answer. Protesting will help. But again, you know, when you shut down a highway, you're not hurting the cops. You're hurting that poor guy or girl who's out there trying to get to work to make a living, and you've got them stuck on the highway. You know, now they can't get to their job. You know, hopefully they've got a cool boss and they understand. You know, I mean, we're costing each other. We're not hurting the police. We're not hurting the politicians. We cost each other, and that makes no sense to me.
Well, and not only that, when you start shutting down expressways and things like that, you are actually encouraging police work, because now they have to be
right.
there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're actually giving these guys overtime because they have to go out on the expressway and watch you. You know, so again, you're defeating your entire purpose. And I don't know how or why it hasn't registered or who's leading this, but you know, sooner or later, somebody's got to figure it out. And you know, you've got to go to the core of this problem. I mean, you know, obviously here in Chicago, you know, Mayor Lightfoot doesn't have a lot of fans, and everybody hates Governor Pritzker. They're not the problem. They're the ones you have to get to fix the problem, because they're the ones with the power to do it. Now, if they don't do it, well, it's time, you know, you vote them out of office the next chance you get. And that's really how this has to work, until you find that elected official who's got whatever it takes to say, hey, look, we're going to wipe this department clean and we're going to start over so we don't have these problems. And obviously it's going to be difficult because, you know, the police have a union just like I do, just like your dad does. So that, you know, that's not going to be an easy situation. But, you know, you know, we're to the point, Dan, where what else can we do?
Yeah, and that's where Minnesota comes in, you know, with what they did there in the downtown, the city area. But, you know, if it weren't for COVID, if I had to go out there, I don't know if I'd be wanting to travel to Minnesota for work.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
With the way they handled it, because it's up to state police now. And the area where my work was, you know, it amazed me that I went to Minnesota and I walked around by myself. I don't know any different from Chicago. You know, it is exact. Little did I know, I was at one point staying on a corner where a couple, 3 weeks before I was there, some dude was beat up, robbed, jumped, you know, the whole nine, right on that corner. And there was a lot of activity on that corner when I was there. And I even had some people yelling at me. Well, I couldn't tell if they were yelling at me. You know, it was one of those things. So it was, I just kind of was like, ooh, I hopped on that train.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, and that's, you know, great. Okay, well, we want to defund the police. But great, who do you call, and how long does it take them to get there? You know, the guy's breaking into my house, or a girl's breaking into my house. Who do I call? You know, is it just up to me to stop them? So, you know, how does that work now? Are we just kind of a, you know, we're a lawless entity where we can kind of decide who does what and how it works? You know, I mean, obviously, that's not gonna go over. So, you know, it's just we need to fix the problem. So. You know, and obviously, you know, the one I don't want to deal with is the fact when, you know, a lot of people complain, you know, a lot of times the only reason some of these people run into the police is because they're breaking the law. That's not the cop's fault. We've got to be able to differentiate between, you know, the people who are using it to try to make a gain and the people who are actually being wronged by the police. So, you know, and again, that's the sad part about America, is we will profit off of anything. And, you know, even in a situation like this, there's people looking to profit. So,
yeah. Think about all the money revenue generated on masks. You know, I see it all day long.
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram. Get your Blackhawk face covers, get your, you know, every sports, every, you know, all the people in Facebook Marketplace, you know, that are making masks to make money. And granted, I'm sure a lot of them, they had to do it because they couldn't go to work.
Yeah, I mean, you can get pretty much anything you want on a mask now. The one girl I work with just made me a mask that has, you know, bears, you know, the bears, orange mask with a black backing and says bears. So, you know, because she had some extra material. She was making them for her and her family. So she made one for, you know, the people she, you know, the three people, other three people in our department. So,
oh,
you know, but yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, if you can't do it yourself, there's somebody out there, you know, who can make a mask for you. And, you know, again, like you said, maybe some people needed it, or, you know, in some other cases, it's just, you know, profiteering, you know, kind of like when everybody was buying, you know, all the toilet paper. Hey, I got all this toilet paper or all this hand sanitizer. You know, now I got all these masks. But, you know, like, again, like I said, unfortunately, you know, that's the way it goes here. You know, we're, you know, free society, and you're allowed to make money. You know, if you think, you know, even if it's in kind of an underhanded way, and I'm not saying making masks is underhanded. I'm saying, you know, going to the store and wiping the shelves clean of hand sanitizer before anybody else, and, you know, then trying to mark it up 100% is, you know, crappy. But, you know, it happens. So, all right. Well, enough NBA and politics. I think I'm done with that. So let's figure something else out here. Obviously, huge baseball night last night. You know, your guy Lucas Giolito throws the 19th no-hitter in White Sox history, and you know, he was incredibly dominant. You know, honestly, I think the only mistake he made was on the last pitch, and luckily the guy hit it. You know, that should have been a double down the right field line, but luckily Adam Engel was able to get to it, you know, for the final out. You know, I think we talked about this a day or two ago, but how do you think the Nationals feel looking at that trade now? Are they just looking at their World Series? Well, thank God we got one. And, you know, especially now with Strasburg on the DL or IL. Damn it, IL.
Yeah, well, and thanks, Big Jack, because there's – I just got sick of some of the Facebook groups I was in, like these baseball ones. Some of these, I don't even want to say old-timers, because they're not even that older. They're not even that old to me, you know. That much older than I. Oh, I'll never call it the IL. Batting average. Like, oh, my God, shut up. The Nike symbol on the jersey is ruining baseball. You know, I don't know. I'm just getting sick of these guys like that. It's like, shut up. You can't bitch about war anymore because they're not talking about it. So, like, but some of the stuff, you know, like, get over it. It's IL, DL. What difference does it make? Because technically they're not really disabled. Well,
right.
I guess in a sense. Yeah. You know, they're going to walk again. They're going to throw again. Anyways, you know, you mentioned Adam Engel, and I'll go out on a limb and say I feel like he's probably one of the most underrated White Sox players. It's just the way it is. So good for Lucas Giolito. But, you know, I was actually thinking that to myself earlier today. In defense for all Cub fans, I will say the White Sox are on the roll, and they did beat the Cubs up last weekend, but it's all because the Cubs traded Eloy Jimenez to their team. So if it weren't for the Cubs, the White Sox wouldn't be here. Oh, but Jose Abreu.
No.
Jose Abreu and Eloy are, like, super close or something. I'm going to make something up, you know. And that's rubbing off on him. So that's – no, you know, I had to throw that in as a Cub fan. We got to put our stuff out there. But, no, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we slightly talked about yesterday was, you know, with the White Sox possibly – going all the way in this huge season. But if they continue on this kind of path, and I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I don't know how far they're going to go. I think they're in the playoffs. I don't know if they'll be in the CS, but I definitely think they'll be division and maybe make it to the CS. I think they could. I have I kind of have that feeling, faith in them, whatever you want to call it. So, but I think it's overly exciting to, number one, get a no-hitter. I don't care what team it's on. It's always fun to watch. I did go back and watch the condensed game. So he was on last night. And to answer your question, you know, the Nationals, the Red Sox, and the Cubs, you know, should all be kind of sitting back and going, man, we fielded that team. We fielded that team, and we did not get in return what they did. We've talked about this since when those trades happened. Each and every one of those trades, I don't know what the percentage is, but the White Sox won all three. When we saw them then, I believe that the White Sox had the best deal in each and every one of those trades. Even though it was my Cubs, and, I'll still sit back here today and say I would have loved for the White Sox to have wanted Kyle Schwarber and made a straight-up trade. Because I think Eloy should have been the everyday starting left fielder for the Cubs, and he's proven it. So you Theo didn't want to be the, oh, no, I did that kind of move. Well, he did that kind of move, and with the Yankees. I think all three teams are, sitting back and just kind of, that sucks. But, my question to you is, the White Sox are kind of known for, with Don Cooper and their pitching. Is that the biggest factor? Do you think it was Washington just gave up too soon and didn't, kind of weather the storm with Lucas? Or that just the coaching down on the south side is what makes the difference?
Yeah, well, you got to remember when he got to Chicago, they redid his delivery. So there mm-hmm. was something about his delivery they didn't like in Washington that they changed when he got to Chicago. So, obviously it was something the Nationals were missing. Would they have eventually fixed it? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. Don Cooper is, one of those guys who's just renowned throughout baseball for, being able to take these guys who are looked at as, failed prospects or just project and being able to straighten them out and get quality work out of them. So, it makes sense. But I did – you brought up kind of in passing, and I don't even know if you realize this, something I wanted to ask you about. Because I got the biggest chuckle out of this morning. I was listening to some overnight radio, and there are Cub fans calling in as they're talking about this no-hitter. And for whatever reason, and I'm going to guess it's just pettiness, the resounding theme was, yeah, it's a no-hitter, but he no-hit the Pirates. Well, I know the Cubs have played the Pirates this year, and I don't believe any Cub pitcher no-hit the Pirates. So, and they are a major league team with some really good hitters. They don't have a lot of great power hitters, with the exception of maybe Josh Bell, but they have some really good hitters on that team. If you want to go back, Brian Reynolds, could have been considered his rookie of the year last year. Kevin Newman's a really good hitter. Polanco is back from injury. So there are some quality guys on this team. They wouldn't be in the majors if they couldn't play. And, Dan, I just thought it was just complete pettiness out of these guys. And, the sad part is the Cubs are in first place, and they can't even kind of look past that because the White Sox did something good.
Yeah, and I've mentioned this before. I'm not a total White Sox hater. But when I get with my White Sox friends, or you got to do the banter back and forth. It just makes it fun. He's against the Pirates, Well, didn't Philip Umbra throw his against I guess he's a
– The Mariners.
The Mariners. I was going to say that he was not a Cub. Jake Arrieta did it against the Dodgers and the Reds. Right? So does that one count? Because it was against the Reds and they weren't doing so good?
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, you could go back and, really, are we going to break down every no-hitter on who it was again? And the team has to be – wait, how good does the team have to be to qualify for that it's actually an opener? And I was just like, really, you guys are going to be this petty? I just can't deal with it. Give me a break. I get it. You lost to Detroit last night, and you know you're not happy about that, so we're going to you know do what we can to demean you know the achievement by a White Sox pitcher, which you know I mean doesn't happen too often. I know as of late we've had some more no hitters than normal, but yeah, I just you know it's just one of those things that makes me you know kind of goofy. You know, when they do that kind of stuff. And I just don't understand it. I mean, it's fine. You know, there's two teams in Chicago. You got to pick one. You know, if that's your deal and you've got to have a side, you know, pick a side. But if you're a smart baseball fan, you understand an accomplishment when you see it. You know, I mean, it's not like he, you know, no-hit the Triple-A Pawtucket Red Sox. You know, I mean, there are players on every team that you kind of look at and you go, God, you know, does he belong in the majors? Yeah, he belongs in the majors, because if you think about it, the worst guy on these now 20, I think it's 8-man rosters, if you would have faced him in high school or little league, he would have probably been the best player in that league. All right, so let that register a little bit. Maybe you were the best player. He would be better than you, bottom line. You know, that's just how it kind of works out. Now, obviously, he's ran into some players that are better than him along the way, but so have you. That's why you're not in the majors, and he is. So, you know, I don't get it. I can understand a little kid doing this when he's fighting with his friends. That, you know, that I could completely understand that. But when you got, you know, grown men calling into a radio show to complain about a no-hitter because it was against the Pirates, yeah, I think you guys have bigger problems than what's going on there. I mean, just give the guy credit. I mean, not only did he throw a no-hitter, he struck out 13 guys, which was the most – you know, most strikeouts in White Sox history. They have 19 no-hitters now. 13 strikeouts is the most ever in one. Before that, it was 9. So, just give the guy a little credit. you don't have to put him in the Hall of Fame or give him the Cy Young, but, you know, just be like, hey, he had a good outing. You know, congratulations. But, unfortunately, they could not do that. And, you know, the White Sox and the Pirates were back at it this afternoon, and the Sox got another big win. 10-3 this time. Dallas Keuchel got the win. So, you know, they're playing, you know, really, really good baseball right now. I'm assuming they started early because they were going on the road. Are the Sox on the road tomorrow? Or is it a day off? Maybe it's the Pirates who had to get out of town. Yeah, because the Pirates are in St. Louis, but it looks like the Sox are off. So, you know, we do have a couple other games underway. The Braves, really big jump on the Yankees. It's 5-1 in the bottom of the sixth. And the Phillies and the Nationals are just getting started. It's 0-0. But the Braves got to Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole made the start for the Yankees today. You know, that game was rained out yesterday. So, you know, the Braves got to him. And then it's Ian Anderson making his major league debut for the Braves, another one of their young starting pitchers. The Phillies National game is actually, if you're on the Mickey Mouse Network Plus format, you could watch that there, because at 6 o'clock we do have the second game. It's a doubleheader, Yankees at the Braves. That's the 6 p.m. game on the Mickey Mouse Network. And you know, just real quick, the rest of the schedule: we got Boston at Toronto, Baltimore at Tampa Bay, Minnesota at Cleveland, the Cubs are at Detroit, the Marlins at the Mets. Oakland's at Texas. We got the Reds at Milwaukee. There is some talk about the Brewers possibly boycotting that game, so we'll see if that happens. Kansas City's at St. Louis. The Mariners are at the Padres. We have the Rockies at the Diamondbacks. And the Dodgers at the Giants. That's the night game on the Mickey Mouse Network. They did postpone the Angels-Astros game. Because they've got that, you know, Hurricane Laura coming into the area, so they wanted to get everybody out of – I don't know if Houston was under mandatory evacuation, but they thought best to postpone the game. And, you know, make it up at a later date, or if at all, if it needs to be. So we'll, you know, we'll go from there and, you know, see how it works out. But yeah, that's, you know, that's what you're looking at tonight. Of course, you know, obviously, you know, the big storyline, we talked a little bit about it here yesterday. Mike Clevenger comes back to make the start for the Indians. So, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see how it goes. You know, he's been pitching at the alternative training site, but I don't know if, you know, that'll be enough to keep him sharp, and, you know, we'll see how, you know, how that kind of goes. And then with the Yankees, with the trade deadline coming up, the Yankees did make a trade with the Giants. The Yankees pick up Rob Brantley, who's been a journeyman catcher. Just cash considerations going back to the Giants. You know, basically what that hopefully means is the Giants are going to commit to Joey Bart for the remainder of this season. I know they have one of the Henneman brothers. I can't remember both their names. I know one is named Tyler. But, you know, Brantley has always been looked at as a kind of a defensive catcher. Didn't play much for the Giants this year, only had 3 at-bats. You know, I don't even know if it looks like the Yankees are going to immediately send them to the alternative training site, just to add a little depth. You know, Gary Sanchez has had some injury issues here and there. And I believe, Higasaka? I'll just butcher that name over and over. I believe he is injured currently. So, you know, they just kind of add a little catching depth there. Didn't even have to give up a player. It just, you know, cost them a little bit of money, which, you know, you're the Yankees. That's, you know, even when you don't have fans in the stands, that's not that big an issue, is it? So, you know, and then I was a little surprised to see, you know, especially with kind of the injuries they've had, but the Nationals decided to opt Carter Kieboom to their alternative training site, and they're bringing Sean Doolittle back. Now, obviously, I don't have a problem with, you know, they probably need Doolittle in their bullpen. That's understandable, but I figure this would be the first, you know, the best time to just kind of let Kieboom play it out. I get that he's only hitting 200, but, you know, it's 60 games. Let him play it out and, you know, see if he can work it out through these final, you know, 30 games or whatever the Nationals have left. I don't know if it benefits him going to the, you know, the alternative training site like that, but I guess we'll see. I just don't know if I think I would rather have him facing actual major league pitching.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know what the deal is, but I do find it interesting, Dan. I am very surprised that there's so much talk about the trade deadline, because I really don't know if I see it being that exciting this year in baseball. You know, Monday's the day of the 31st. But yeah, you know, I keep, you know, every, you know, it, there's always a section of it on every show, and, you know, it's always, hey, what's going to happen here or what's going to happen there. And, you know, which big name is going to go, you know, going to go bye-bye, you know, who's going to sell, who's going to buy. And again, I mean, if this was a regular season, yeah, I would have been thrilled about it, and there probably would have been some big moves. But I don't know. Are you buying any, like, actual star players being traded, or do you just see it being more minor moves like the Yankees did today to add a little catching depth? You know, some relievers move maybe?
I think it's all going to be minor moves. You know, this the way you say it when you're talking about the programming and everyone's got their – you know, that's part of the problem is, you know, COVID shifted everything, you know, set back the season start and everything. But what it didn't do was take the, you know, television directors, program directors, whoever's in charge, it didn't force them to rethink their platform. They just have a script, a year by year, for regular season, it's this day, this day, this day. This is the stuff we talk about during these weeks. It takes me back to my bodybuilding days, and no, I was not competing or anything like that. I was just really into it. And I subscribed to the magazines. Dude, I was into it, what did I learn from subscribing to two different magazines for a couple of years? This goes for every magazine out there in general. You literally only need to subscribe to 1 year because every season has its thing. So, every year around the same time, let's say October, or no, January, what's the biggest thing in January? Everyone makes their stupid resolution and hits the gym. So literally any bodybuilding exercise magazine for January and February is going to talk about how to kickstart your routine. And then, that's for the, kind of the newbies. And then the more experienced weightlifters and bodybuilders, their target to them is how do you switch up your routine so that you're not following the same thing that everyone else, all the newbies are following with the Monday chest day. A bodybuilder might go in on Monday and do back or legs, to offset. So, it didn't take long for me to realize, it's the same format. They run the same format. They just put new pictures in and word things a little, have a new writer, because a different writer is not going to write the same thing. So it's kind of the same thing with the television programming. Like you said, it's who's the big trade. And, the one thing I didn't hear you say, and, this would actually mean these people are actual journalists and do investigation. And I know we're not talking about murder investigation or anything like that, but I would be more intrigued if there was a pop-up that said, oh, we're going to discuss not potential, not anything like that, but what we think and here's why, and that's something that you and I try to evaluate more so than anything is, back when the Cubs were, the Cubs are going to get traded for Mike Trout before his contract's coming up. And you and I were both like, it's never going to happen. And here's why. But if Mike Trout were to get traded, who would actually be a good fit? So that's more intriguing to me when you want to talk trade talk. Make sense of it.
Yeah, well, if you'd asked me a couple days ago, I would have been interested to know if the Indians were actually going to deal Clevenger and Plesac. Well, now, it's pretty clear that they're not going to deal Clevenger. Plesac maybe because, he didn't get the call back up. But, Clevenger is definitely not going anywhere. No matter how you look at it, they wouldn't have brought him back up to make this start if they were going to deal him, 5 days later. He doesn't need to showcase his talent. We've already seen what he can do, and they know he's healthy and they know why he went down. So, there's no issues there with any of that stuff. So by bringing him back up, that means, unless obviously they're blown away by some kind of deal, he's not going anywhere. The other name I heard that popped up the other day was apparently the Brewers were taking calls on Josh Hader, which in reality, every team should do on every player, no matter who it is. But then the article went on to say that the only way they're going to trade him is if they get a bananas offer. Well, nobody's going to give you four prospects for Josh Hader. Sorry. He's been really up and down as of late. He was injured last year. Even though he is one of the better closers in the game when he's healthy, nobody's paying that price. Sorry. So, that's not going to happen. I know the other one that they seem to want to happen, and I don't know why. I don't know what the Phillies did to them, but apparently they want to see them move JT Realmuto because he's in the last year of his contract. Even though the Phillies have made it pretty clear that they want to re-sign him, and they are only four games behind the Braves, but and more importantly, only three games behind the Marlins for second place. Because remember, the top two teams get in. You don't have to win the division to get in anymore. It's the top two teams in each division plus two wild cards. So, you know, even though they're 11 and 14, they could still get in. All they got to do is get past those Marlins. So, yeah, I get it. Okay, you're looking to fill print space or fill TV time. But, you know, it's kind of like Dan said, do some work and give me some actual information. You know, I mean, you have all the contacts. You know, and I'm guessing by just kind of these goofy predictions, it means nothing's going on. So.
Yeah, well, that's because everyone's furloughed, you know. They don't get that, I ran into so-and-so at the stadium, and they said, be on the lookout right for this.
Well, you know, that and the fact that, I mean, if you think about it, with the way the playoffs are structured, there are very few teams that are actually out of it. So, you know, I mean, one 10-game winning streak by anybody, even if it's the Boston Red Sox, gets you right back in the playoff race. Now, I don't think anybody expects the Red Sox to go on a 10-game winning streak, but, you know, I mean, you look at the Angels, whose record percentage-wise is actually worse than the Red Sox, and Dan and I are probably going to laugh about that for quite a long time if they don't get going. But, you know, again, you put together a 10-game winning streak, and you're right back in the playoff hunt. Now you say 10 games is a lot. Well, there have been multiple teams that have went 9 this year, so it can be done. I mean, the Giants right now are on a 7-game winning streak. So I kind of think Clayton Kershaw ends that tonight. But even so, they're on a 7-game winning streak. So you know if they were to rattle off 7, lose a game, and rattle off 7 more, I would take 14 out of 15. I wouldn't complain about that. So, but yeah, I think that kind of hurts the trade market. Is, you know, there just aren't really enough teams out of it.
Well, and not only that, I mean, with the shortened season, you know, someone who's maybe just the last team, you know, kind of like the whatever, you know, number 9, you know, number 9 and 10 of the division or the league. You know, they've got some guys. Well, this has been a shortened season, and, you know, even like the Nationals, I think would be a better. They just got off to a bad start, and they also got off to a bad start last year and won the World Series. So if you kind of know your team and you think that's possible, why would you start giving up on, you know, any of your so-called star players right now when, you know, next season's a whole nother story and should be closer to 162 games? Although I wonder if it will be modified.
Yeah, you know, you do wonder. But, you know, I mean, you start looking at the wild card race, and, you know, the Angels are the farthest team out of the wild card spot. And then, you know, the National League, they're 9.5 out. The Pirates are, you know, 7.5 out in the National League. The Angels, obviously, are American. They just screwed that up. You know, 7.5, Dan, again, if you get hot, that's not a lot of games to make up. So, you know, and obviously, especially with the schedule the way it is, where you're going to play a lot of your division opponents, you know, you're kind of making up 2 games in 1 because, you know, not only are you beating a division opponent, but obviously they're losing a game. So, you know, it has that double kind of whammy effect. So, you know, I can understand, you know, when you're looking at these teams like, you know, I mean, you know, especially in the National League, because you go above the Pirates and it's the Reds who are only 4.5 back. 4.5 is nothing to make up. So, it's tough to say, well, we're going to sell, you know, I mean, unless you like the White Sox that one year when they were like 3 games back and, you know, traded everybody, I believe, to the Giants, you know, and just kind of gave up the season for whatever reason that was. And I think they call that a white flag trade. So, here's some breaking news for you, Dan, and especially if you're a daily fantasy player. It looks like the Brewers-Reds game is postponed. So if you have any Brewers or Reds in your fantasy lineup for tonight, go get them out because you ain't going to get any stats from them. And I am going to FanDuel right now to check my guy.
Well, I just picked up Eric Sogard because of Chris Bryant. I almost said Benoit because of you yesterday. So that's not in there, right? Guess I won't be using him tonight.
Okay, well, I don't have any Reds or Brewers in the lineup, but I do have one guy who's not starting for me, so I guess I should probably take him out of the lineup because that's not going to help me out at all. No.
Yeah, so, you know, we're running short on time here, and, you know, you really didn't say anything about Giolito's performance last night. What were your thoughts? And, you know, maybe kind of give a professional opinion and then a fan opinion.
Well, I don't really have a professional opinion.
No. Oh. Well, then I guess it's just 2-1. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
No, that's the kind of stuff I like. You know, I enjoy watching pitching performances like that. So, you know, I really like that. You know, getting to see him pitch like that. So,
well, I guess I should have like rephrased my question the way I meant when I said professional. So, with the way the game is today, it's all about home runs, and you know, a pitcher's duel is something that nobody really cares to see anymore. You know, a lot of people are, especially well, with the money we pay, you know, for family of four, you're, you know, selling out somewhere like $200 to $300 to take everyone to the game. So maybe, you know, it kind of makes sense why you'd want to see a lot more home runs, but you know, I'm all for being at a game where it comes down to the 10th inning with no man on second to start the inning off. And the game is won in the bottom of the 10th on a squeeze bunt, 1-0. You know, and we've seen those games. To me, that's amazing. But, you know, with the fact that they've kind of villainized games like that, are you surprised that this is still, like, a big deal that there was a no-hitter, that it's still treated that way?
No, you know, I think if it would have been, you know, if it would have been a one-hitter, it would have been looked at, obviously, you know, completely different, and I don't think anybody would have made a deal out of it. But, you know, that a no-hitter is still, you know, it's still very unique, you know, in a sense, because, you know, we don't see a lot of them, and obviously, it's, you know, it's very difficult to pitch a no-hitter. So, you know, I think, you know, that will always kind of have its place in pitching lore. But, you know, I mean, you know, and I'm not surprised if we see more with the way, you know, sabermetrics and analytics have changed the game because you can strike out hitters because they all want to hit home runs. So, we'll have to see how that goes.
SportsTimeRadio.com.